In the translation, when Mother Yashoda and Rohini were unable to protect the babies from calamities, threatened by horned cows, by fire, by animals with claws and teeth, such as monkeys, dogs, and cats, and by thorns, swords, and other weapons on the ground, they were always in anxiety, and their household engagements were disturbed. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. In the purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. All these pastimes of Krishna and the great enjoyment exhibited by the mothers are transcendental. Nothing about them is material. They are described in the Brahma Samhita as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. In the spiritual world, there is anxiety, there is crying, and there are other feelings similar to those of the material world. But because the reality of these feelings is in the transcendental world, of which this world is only an imitation, Mother Yashoda and Rohini enjoyed them transcendentally. Om jnana timirandasya ginanjana shalakaya chaksurin militam gena tasmai shri guruve nama Amchakalpa drubhyastra kripa sundhu vaibhacha patitanam pavanaibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So how can it be that the Supreme Personalities of Godhead, Sri Krishna and Balaram, would be affected by such things as thorns and stones, monkeys and dogs? This is Balaram, the father of all martial arts. Powerful, very, very powerful. This is Krishna. His pastimes include defeating demons for fun. He doesn't have to defeat the demons like this. It's a pastime. They are actually devotees, come in the form of demons for his pastimes. This is his play. So how can it be that mothers Yashoda and Rohini were in distress over their safety? This is one of the dualities of our teachings. But it makes perfect sense. If Krishna can engage in these pastimes and he wants to thoroughly enjoy these pastimes, the way that he achieves that is to put us in a little bit of illusion so that we can feel like we're really protecting, really serving him. The distress of material affection. So in this material world, we feel this distress when someone we care about is in danger, or when a child cries. Sound vibration is so powerful. Different vibrational properties affect us in different ways. When we hear certain sounds, we are elevated to happiness, and certain sounds bring us distress. Most of you have heard my youngest child cry at times since we've been here, and it brings distress. Yes, she's very loud. Two-year-olds can be very loud. Terrible twos, they call it. This is a natural response. All animals and human beings will feel something when they hear a child cry. Wolves are very attuned to this. I had wolves growing up, and when they hear a child cry, their ears stand on end and they become extremely affectionate. A lot of people don't know that about wolves. Wolves are very protective and affectionate. It's the sound vibration that comes from the spiritual world, the feeling of distress, the feeling of a child crying for its mother. Mothers Yashoda and Rohini were such great elevated devotees. They had this desire to serve the Lord in this way, to give themselves to the Lord as a mother. How can you give yourself to the Lord as a mother if you are always seeing the Lord as the almighty, powerful creation and the absolute truth? How can I give my affection to the Lord of everything when I can barely get off my knees because I'm so overwhelmed by this power? So he allows this little bit of illusion so that we can enjoy this pastime. It's a gift. How can the Lord enjoy this individual relationship that he has with each one of us if he doesn't allow us to give him this love and this mutual reciprocation between us? Every single living entity is completely individual. Even though we all come from the same source, we are all flames from the same candle. So in that sense, we're all the same. And yet we're all completely, uniquely individual for a reason. Because we are created to give the Lord pleasure. He obtains that pleasure from us through that loving relationship, that one-on-one individual loving relationship with each and every living being. It's not a cookie cutter replication. He could, but then he wouldn't have the enjoyment of each one of us. As a parent, we watch children grow and they go through struggles, and it's not always pleasant. They get injuries, they make mistakes. Sometimes they misbehave. But when parents look back at the memories of their children, they are usually in bliss. They're so happy to think about this. And it's usually the child that caused the most trouble that gets the most attention. We know this by Krishna's pastimes. He caused a little trouble to gain everyone's affection. So this is our natural desire. This is our position, to be individual and watch this happen. The Lord is watching our struggles. And he cries when we cry. He feels the emotions that we feel in a transcendental, pure way. And he sees us struggling in this material illusion. So why does he have to do that? Why would he allow that? Because the struggle, well, for one thing, because we asked for it. I mean, we didn't have to come to the material world. We could have stayed in the spiritual world and never experienced these things. But since we did come here, and we do have individuality, we do have freedom of choice, the Lord enjoys these pastimes with us. And sometimes he cries with us. Sometimes he laughs with us. Plays tricks, jokes with us. So Mother Yashoda, although she felt such a special power, and she was an enlightened soul, and although she knew that this was a very powerful person, a very special child, she still felt this loving attachment as if it was her own child, and she still felt fear. Even though some of the other people in the time could recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she still felt as if he was her child. How do you bind the Lord with a rope if he's the almighty supreme personality of Godhead? Which one of us would dare approach the Lord to bind him? And how could we possibly bind the Lord? I mean, what is the one thing that can actually conquer the Lord and defeat the Lord? Does anyone know? Love. Pure love and devotion from his devotees. He was not bound by a rope. It was a rope. He arranged for the rope to continue on and on and on until her devotion and love, till she was so distressed that he was overwhelmed by love and he allowed himself to be bound by her. So when these babies went out to play, and they're just babies, beautiful, glowing babies with the strength to knock down trees and defeat powerful demons. She was allowed. Through this Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha, she was given this gift, the gift of illusion. Sometimes illusion, we talk about illusion as not a gift. Illusion is something we have to deal with. It's not a gift. But there are certain times in a transcendental sense that this was a gift. She was allowed to experience this. She was allowed to experience the love and the distress of seeing her child walking barefoot on sharp thorns. When he was old enough to tend the calves, and he begged. She didn't want to let him do it. So dangerous. And he finally won the argument. Being a loving mother, she dressed him up like a little prince, not a cowherd boy. She dressed him like a little prince, and she made sure that he had shoes to protect his feet. We were talking about this previously. My godbrother was speaking on this very nicely. Even the cows were afraid that he would hurt his feet on the sharp rocks of Raj. So before he came out, they used their sharp hooves to crunch up all of the rocks and turn the rocks into dust, the dust of Raj that we still have. Of course, he didn't want to be dressed like a prince. And eventually, the shoes came off. I mean, who doesn't want to run barefoot through the forest with the cows? It's a nice thing. Try it sometime. And Mother Rohini, the same way. How can you be the mother of Balaram? Who's powerful enough to give Balaram directions and tell him what to do and protect Balaram? Balaram's the protector even of Krishna. Balaram protects everything. He's the origin of all martial arts. So what to speak of us? What about those of us in this particular age? We have affection for one another. We have affection for devotees. We have affection for our children. We have affection for our leaders. Yeah. We teach quite often when we're speaking with those that have not heard of Krishna consciousness. It's very easy to reach their hearts by approaching them in this way. There are three basic ways that a person follows religious principles. Some religious backgrounds promote this fear of what will happen if you don't follow the rules. We've probably all experienced in some religious way, in some religious background. These are the rules. For example, the Ten Commandments laid down to Moses at a time when the children of the Lord were misbehaving. These are the rules. If you break the rules, you're going to suffer the consequences. And for people who are misbehaving and breaking the rules, the fear of the consequences might be the only way they'll stop breaking the rules. I've been teaching in prisons for many years, and so I deal with this type of person who follows the rules because they don't want to get in trouble. The problem with that is when they thought they could get away with it, they broke the rules because they thought they wouldn't get in trouble. So they broke the rules. Some of the men that I know are, they've been in prison for 40, 50, 60 years. On their 18th birthday, one friend of mine, one devotee from a prison, and he's a very nice devotee. I want to make this very clear. He's a very good devotee. On his 18th birthday, he went out drinking with his buddies. They got into a little fight, and when he punched the other man, he fell and hit his head and died. He's been in prison since he was 18 years old, and soon he will leave his body there, his entire life in prison. One mistake. I was raised in a Christian background, and I was taught that God was loving and forgiving. I didn't ever believe that a really, truly loving God would allow something like this to happen. That one mistake in a person's life and they are condemned to separation from the Lord. In my religious background, this is what we were taught. This is what hell is. Hell is separation from the Lord forever, eternally. This didn't seem right to me. It's one of the things that brought me to Krishna consciousness. So there are people that are afraid of the consequences and they break the rules. And of course, you might get away with it for a while, but Paramatma, the Lord in your heart, is there and he sees everything and you cannot avoid the penalties. So this is one philosophy, and it works for some people to elevate them to a certain point. The next step, this is a little more the background that I grew up in a religion that promoted the promise of a reward. If you do the right things, if you follow religious principles, you will get a heavenly reward. They promised your own heavenly planet. And it's interesting, the religious background that I grew up in was very similar to our beliefs here. But the ultimate goal was not to go back to Godhead, it was to obtain heaven, your own kingdom, to become godlike, to become a demigod. So many people are on this platform. It's a little higher platform. But it's still on the material platform because we want something. So in this way, With fear of a punishment, with fear of hell, we're looking at the Lord like a judge, like the judge. We don't want to offend the judge. With promise of heaven, we are taught this is our heavenly Father. This is our Father. We approach him as a father. And it's a little higher platform. However, we tend to approach our Father when we need things the most. You know, there's a joke that the son goes away to college, and after some time, he writes a letter home. Shri Radhika Kulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Dear Father, I love you very much. I wish to serve you. Please. please send money immediately before they kick me out of school. Right? We ask the Father for things. Does that make the Lord happy when we ask him for things? You bet it does. Yeah. I know what it feels like to be a father. When a child needs something, it makes me feel very good. It's a very special relationship. And this is what's taught in these backgrounds. And it's true. It is a special relationship. But what if that father gives the child some money? Let's say the father gives the child $10, 10 pounds. The child can be very grateful. Thank you, Father. Thank you very, very much. And it makes the child happy. But what if the father is grateful because now he has some way to buy a gift for his father? The child didn't have any money, and the father gave him a gift. Now the child is ecstatic because he can buy a gift for the father. So that's the first thing he does. He takes that money. The father doesn't need the gift. The money was his in the first place. He doesn't need anything. He's complete. But the child runs out with great excitement, and he buys a gift for his father, and he's so happy that he finally has something to give to his father. I remember when I was a little boy, my father gave me a little bit of money. It wasn't $10. It was maybe $1. In those days, you could ride your horse to town where I lived and buy penny candy. So that was 100 pieces of candy. But I couldn't catch the horse that day. And I walked all day. I wasn't supposed to be away from home, but I did. And I got in so much trouble. It actually makes the memory even better for me because I got in trouble so much. My mother and father were in such distress because I was struggling so much. But I came home with some little porcelain rooster, a little chicken, you know, a rooster, because my mother liked them. I don't know why, but she liked them. And it was a cheap little gift. It's all I had. And when I got home, they were in such distress. They thought something was wrong with me. I was gone all day, and I was so tired, you know, so sore. And it was so sweet to be able to give that to my mother, even though I was in trouble. I couldn't wait to give her this. And she had tears in her eyes when she realized where I had been. So we were all suffering this distress of material affection. I was suffering in separation. I was serving in separation by struggling to get this gift. And the money to get the gift came from my father. And my father was suffering in material distress about his child and what I was experiencing and what was wrong with me. So this is a reflection of the spiritual world and our relationship with Krishna. It's a reflection of that. We're here in the material world, struggling and suffering, and the Lord is in distress when we suffer. He hurts when we hurt, and he cries when we cry. And when he sees that we are doing this on his behalf. Now, had I taken that money and went and bought 100 pieces of penny candy and not come home until dark, well, that would have been something different. But when I came home, they realized that I was actually bringing a gift for my mother. What if we are struggling, we have a gift that comes from Krishna, and we're struggling, and all we want to do is please Radharani. All we want to do is please our mother. That's going to make Krishna very happy. When we approach the mother, it softens the heart of the father. So we have this illusion. We have this illusion that we have to deal with. Srila Prabhupada said, make the best of a bad bargain. We have this illusion. So it's going to happen. It comes up. When we're in our struggles, we can't see the future. We don't always know the past. We know a very limited bit. Krishna sees our past, present, and future. He knows exactly who we are. We are seeing this particular moment in a linear time, and time is not linear. Time is cyclic. Time is always in a cycle. Everything that will take place has already taken place and is taking place simultaneously. This is an inconceivable potency of the Lord, but he sees all of this. Quantum physicists nowadays, they try to promote this, and it's hard to understand. But as Krishna devotees, we can understand this. We understand that we just don't see it all. So what we are seeing is this momentary manifestation. So the struggle, that's half the fun. Whenever I think about my guru, Maharaj, and our pastimes together, they involve some really hard times, serious struggles. I met my guru by losing every material thing I had. Within 3-day period, my house was burnt down, my horses rolled off the cliff into the ice through the river, my fiancé was killed, I lost all of my money, everything I had, and I got very sick. And had that not happened, I would have never left the mountains where I was, and I never would have met my guru. So I decided that I would buy a plane ticket and fly to the other side of the world. I didn't care where I went, just as long as I went somewhere that people were suffering more than me. I just wanted to give my service to someone who had lost even more than I had. That's all I wanted. But I had been praying to meet my guru for 23 years since I saw Prabhupada and couldn't quite catch up with him. I thought I'd missed my guru. After 23 years of praying, Krishna finally listened. And he said, your guru is never going to come down the trail in the Rocky Mountains in snowshoes where I was living at the time. And he took away everything I had. I got off the airplane at an airport in Sri Lanka. I just happened to pick Sri Lanka. My guru's plane landed 15 minutes before mine. And I just happened to meet him in the airport. Right? The struggle, the distress, begging for a spiritual master, begging for a way to reach Krishna. Krishna guides us to our spiritual master. Sometimes through illusion. I made a lot of mistakes the week before I met him. I did some really foolish things. I've lived in the wilderness most of my life, but I did a lot of foolish things. He gave me just enough illusion to cause me to pull me out of my situation and put me where I needed to be for the real mercy. Ananda Chinmaya Vigraha. That's the personal, spiritual form of bliss and knowledge. He gives us just a little bit of illusion in order to give us real knowledge. I've served my guru for several years. Those of you that know me know what my service is. I've served him for many years. And I always say that the service I have to him is something he lets me pretend to have. I'm assigned as his bodyguard. I'm assigned as other gurus' bodyguards. And there's no question that I would not even be alive today if I didn't have the protection of my guru or the other Vaishnavas that I serve. So I'm pretending. I'm giving my service, and I forget. When I'm on duty and I see someone threaten my guru, it's something I hope none of you ever see. I change. I become a protector. And a very fierce protector. And then after I think, I wasn't really qualified to do that. I'm pretty good, but I'm not that good. I'm not qualified to do that. It's the power of those Vaishnavas that gives me the strength to do it. When Mother Rohini and Mother Yashoda were protecting their babies, they don't need to protect them. The Lord is allowing them this feeling of protection, this loving reciprocation. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. We hear this quite often. The words are very important. I was speaking with my friend the other day, my godbrother. Inconceivable oneness and difference at the same time. How is this possible? One and different at the same time. It's inconceivable to us in our material mind. The Lord allows us this pastime. So as we go through our service, what can we learn from this lesson? What's the key lesson behind their service? They had so much love and affection for the Lord because they were serving the Lord as a child. So this is a very good point when you're preaching to someone who's new. If you mention to them these three different modes of loving the Lord out of fear of retaliation, one platform, a promise of a reward like serving the Father, a little higher platform, and we never want to lose respect as the Father of all creation. We never want to lose respect for who the Lord really is. But in our hearts, when we're serving on the altar, when we're serving our deities, we have this mood. We're dressing the deities, we're bathing the deities, we're offering the deities everything. They are completely dependent on us. We have this mood. Is the Lord dependent on us? No, but we have this mood, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. We are allowed to feel the pleasure of serving the Lord as our child. The first thing in the morning when your eyes open, you should think, my child needs me. I didn't understand this until I had children. And I was doing my service in a temple. I was making the transfer. I was washing Krishna's dishes. And the tears just started to flow because at the time I had, my children were a little older and I was traveling and I was missing them. And I felt the affection for Krishna as a child. I'm washing his dishes. And it changed my devotional life. This feeling, my child needs me. Your eyes open. Where's my child? I've got to make sure my child's okay. First thing, give some water. Say good morning. Open your altar. Even if you have just a picture of Krishna. First thing, you wake up right to your knees, right where Taptis, when you wake up in the morning, first thing you should do is come right to your knees, think of Krishna, offer obeisances to your guru and to Krishna. Give him some water and a flower. That's where the real joy is. So whatever our rasa may be, whatever our mood is, the way that we serve, it's this attitude of service. Krishna doesn't need a drink of water first thing in the morning. He needs our love. He needs us to feel that love for him. Any more than these great sadhus need a bodyguard. They don't. But Krishna allows us, if we really struggle and we really want these things, he allows us to feel those pastimes. And that's the sweetest pastimes there are. So Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini, great examples So let's don't let Krishna step on any thorns. Let's give him the protection of our love and our devotion and serve him faithfully like he was our own child. Hare Krishna.